Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
We're in our message series, Empowered Together. We've been talking about spiritual gifts, and I don't want to make it sound like it's business as usual, but I believe that where we are in this message series is opportune. And there is something to say about these things that actually applies for today. I want you to think back to Christmas morning, maybe when you were a kid, and think of the afternoon conversations with your friends where you're talking to each other. What do you talk about? You talk about, what did you get for Christmas? So we're talking about spiritual gifts, and so this is the first of three or four messages, because there's a lot of content in here that we're actually going to talk about what the gifts are, how you evaluate them, how do you know what you have? And this has been a big question as we've been going through this series. So far we've been talking about, these are gifts that God gives to us by His Holy Spirit who lives within us. Last week we talked about we grow through discipline, we serve through our gifts. And if you missed that one, I would welcome you to listen to that or to watch it, because it's still up on YouTube. When Claudette spoke quite a few weeks ago now, she went through a list of the gifts as they are found in Scripture. And we're told all the time that it's not an exhaustive list. And I always get a little bit worried about adding to it, because I think sometimes people do that inappropriately. But I also think that in our Western point of view, we tend to like things in little boxes. And I'm not sure they were boxed as finely in Paul's letters as we look at them today, but we are going to look at them in detail, and so to that end, I do have some boxes just to make it easier for us to sort of grab onto. So as we do this, your opportunity is to ask, what is my gift? And maybe you already have a sense of what that is. How can I use it? Those are the two big questions we're addressing. So we're going to break the gifts into categories. And again, this is kind of artificial because Scripture does not do this. But in order to make the message not 4 hours long, we're going to do this. And so just to be helpful, I've broken them down into four. Okay, and the first one is professing gifts. I don't actually like this name, but in order to make it memorable, I started them all with P, and this is the best I could do for this category. So professing gifts, they would be speaking gifts. The second group that we're going to talk about next week will be practical gifts. The third one will be power gifts. And then the fourth one would be what I'm calling positional gifts. So today we're going to look at those professing gifts. This is the speaking. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago when we went through Luke's emphasis on the gifts. But we're going to go sort of take Paul's perspective on this. In my regular daily Bible reading yesterday, I tend to read a passage from the Old Testament, a passage from the New Testament. So yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I was reading in 1 Samuel. And it's a familiar Sunday school story where Samuel is a child and he's serving at the tent where the Ark of the Covenant is, or the tent of meeting, and he hears the priest Eli calling to him, and so he goes to the priest and he says, "I heard you calling," and the priest says, "I didn't," and it happens three times, and finally the priest recognizes, "Oh, maybe he's hearing God's voice," and when you come to the end of that whole segment, at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's a little bit more explicit in terms of what was implied. And the reality was that this priest, this leader of the people, did not know God's voice, did not hear God's voice, and was not speaking God's voice to the people. And so the corrective is that God raises up Samuel to be his spokesperson. And so here's the calling of a young leader in a vacuum of God's voice. And the result was of that vacuum was that God's people were in a really, really bad place. So I read that passage yesterday, and my New Testament passage was Acts verse 9. Acts verse 9, I spoke about it on the live video this past week, about in verse 8, this tremendous persecution came out against the church. And the beginning of verse 9 hones in on the perpetrator of that persecution. It was a man named Saul. And Saul is intercepted by Jesus on a particular journey, and Jesus reveals himself to him as God's chosen Messiah. And so when Paul is blinded and he goes to the city where he was headed, and God speaks to one of his people, Ananias. And here's where the contrast is, because in the Old Testament you have this lack of understanding God's voice, and in the New Testament you have the new church, ordinary people are hearing God's voice and responding. So Ananias goes to Paul at risk of his life and leads him to complete faith in Jesus, where Paul is filled with the Spirit, Paul is baptized, and that calling is assured. Here we have in two passages two callings, one of Samuel, one of Paul. They change the course of the nation, but the context in which they happen is completely different. In the Old Testament, there's this complete vacuum of God's voice. In the New Testament, you have these prophetic gifts just happening throughout the church, this understanding God is speaking and sharing that with other people. And that is part of the importance. So in these professing gifts, what I'm going to do, I'm going to run out of time. I'm going to go through each one that I'm categorizing as speaking gifts. And the first one we'll start with is prophecy. So prophecy, in contrast to Luke's text, where Luke is talking about a prophetic community that speaks God's testimony to the world, Paul is looking at it as edification for the church to be that witness. So prophecy exists so the church can be built up. And I think I mentioned that for Luke, it's a catch-all term for all sort of speaking, including tongues and all that other stuff. But in Paul, he distinguishes it. Now, you can still look at it as a catch-all, but there's more specificity in Paul. So here the word prophecy here means a supernatural ability to speak God's words. Now, we're talking about encouragement, correction, direction. What you're not necessarily hearing in there, and here's where one way that we sort of fall down. We think prophecy means predicting the future. That's how we understand the term in English today, 21st century. The word he's using there doesn't specifically mean that. It means to speak God's words. Now, sometimes, and usually it's the minority of times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's prediction involved. But it doesn't just mean prediction. So this is a gift of the Holy Spirit to individuals within the church to build up the church. Now, how would you know? One of the indicators of a prophetic gift from the Spirit is somebody with that gift would tend to have a higher sensitivity to wrongdoing, to sin, to immorality, to injustice, and they can be angered by that. Many times we feel anger in terms of where we should be responding. And so there's a strong sense of what is wrong or what needs to happen. Now, what happens when this gift is present in the church? There's a sense in the church as a whole that God is speaking regularly. And we've experienced this at Crossland's Church. We have some people that have exercised this gift. They've spoken out God's messages. And there's a sense God is here and God is speaking to us. Now, I would echo the words of Moses that we would need more of that. I know we have a couple of people that step out very faithfully. They take that risk. And so we get a sense of God's message, God's words, God's vision and direction for us. And we see what that looks like on a Sunday morning. In a regular service, when we're not live streaming, it's usually towards the end of worship because the context of worship can encourage people to exercise these kinds of gifts. And so we would have somebody come to the front, we give them a microphone so that we can sort of authorize what's being said. There's a layer of protection from the leadership there. And we can explain it when people come in off the street. They might not have any idea what's going on, so it gives us the opportunity to explain it. But it can also look like an email or a text. I had somebody email me last week and say, this is what I believe God is saying to the church, and I shared that last week in our live stream. I remember one time, it was a Sunday morning, it was pre-service, and somebody walked up to me and said, I know this is unusual, but I just feel like God is wanting me to say these words to you. It was a message of encouragement. And what they didn't realize at the time is they were exercising a gift of prophecy. This is what is happening. We're speaking God's words. Now, when that gift is absent in the church, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that's a sort of an older translation. I think I had it written down somewhere. But the idea of it, when there's no message from God, when there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And what happens when we don't have God's prophetic voice in the church, both we lose restraint both in terms of morality, we start to get a anything goes mentality. Oh, Jesus loves us and it doesn't matter what you do. Okay, it does matter what you do. But the second thing is we lose direction. We tend to do nothing or everything. There's no focus, there's no direction. And I think I'm going to say a little bit more about that later on. Now, if you feel like this is a gift that God is giving you, or even a gift you're wanting to seek, Paul says to seek the gift that edifies the body, and he contrasts prophecy with tongues. And he says, and so we are allowed to seek these gifts. But watch out for arrogance, because sometimes we get the sense, well, God has given me a message. Therefore, everybody needs to listen to me. And you can run into a lack of accountability. Sometimes people with that have been given a message from God feel intimidation. That's something to watch for, to step out. If you don't say it, who will say it? Sometimes there's frustration when people don't respond the way you think they should respond. And sometimes people that would be strong in the gift of prophecy lack mercy. They can come across as judgmental. And so we're going to talk about mercy next week, but there's a balance there when all the gifts are in operation. Here's another warning. And some of these warnings are going to apply to a lot of the gifts that I'm talking about today. So I'm going to go more into detail now, and then I might later on say, hey, this is just like prophecy in that way. But sometimes we jump to giving the message because God has given it to us, when what we might need to do is wait. So it can be appropriate when God gives a message to somebody, I got this message burning in our heart. It is appropriate to say, oh God, what do you want me to do with this? Because sometimes it's for the whole community. Sometimes it's for the leadership of the community. Sometimes it's for an individual. And sometimes it's for not now, later. There's nothing wrong with writing it down. So that's just a bit of a warning. Here's another thing to watch for: embellishing the message. Sometimes God will give somebody a prophetic message, his words, and then we add interpretation to that, and here's what it means, when maybe God didn't say that to you. There's a passage in towards the end of Acts where Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, and in one of the stories, there's a prophet, his name is Agabus, he comes to Paul and says, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be tied up and handed over to the authorities. So don't go. Well, Paul goes anyway because he knows this is God calling him. And my suspicion is that so don't go was an add-on that God didn't say, because it was God's intention for him to go. So we have to be careful to sort of like speak the truth, all the truth, but nothing but the truth, that when you have a message from God, you don't embellish it, you don't add to it. And I think it's also important to give messages like this with humility, because there's always the possibility that we're hearing wrong. So I've shared things I believe God has said to me for somebody else, and I'll usually say something like, I think this is what God is saying. And there's all kinds of things that could be encouragement. I had a friend who was going through a really tough time, I think it was just this past week, and I felt God saying, I want you to say this to him. So I did it by text. That's legitimate. And it was something like, God sees you and he's with you, he hasn't forgotten you. And the person texted back and said, I cried when I read that because I felt all alone. And so there's that confirmation that, okay, this really is God. And when somebody says something to you and said this is from God, we are called to test that. Does it line up with Scripture? Is it what God is really saying? Just because somebody says it's from God doesn't mean it's from God. And so we do this in community. We do this with accountability. So I spent a lot of time on prophecy. I'm going to go through these other gifts as well. But a reminder that the things to watch for, a lot of them overlap. The next one is a message of knowledge. This is very simply, it's a supernatural ability to know something you would have no natural means of knowing. A couple of years ago, we had some of our young adults went on a retreat, and they were praying for one another, and one of the people being prayed for actually got upset because the people that were praying for him were praying for things they had no right to know. There was no way they could have known those things, but God was giving them a message of knowledge for that person. God was wanting to say that. So, quite simple. How would you know? Well, if something pops in your head and you go, I feel like this is true about somebody, but I have no way to know it, then maybe that is a gift that God has for you. When that happens in the church, there's a way to move forward in growth and maturity, because we're accessing something. We're accessing knowledge that's beyond our natural means. But when it's absent in the church, things that should be dealt with remain covered up. There can be a lack of encouragement to the defeated. There can be a lack of correction to those that need correction. There can be a lack of mercy towards those that are hurting. But God can reveal something to somebody and say that this is for that person. And we have to be very gentle and careful in dealing with that. So the things to watch for in this are the same as for prophecy. Don't embellish. Don't be arrogant. Make sure that it's legitimate and not counterfeit. I talked last week about counterfeit gifts. Anything God does can be imitated by the enemy. And sometimes people have a sense of getting premonitions. We have to be careful that is actually from God. Premonition, or sometimes when somebody has a gift of this gift of knowledge, they start to slide into trying to read other people. right? You look at body language, you go, oh, let me guess what they're doing. And we have to be very, very careful that our own motives don't get in the way and pride. And so it could be our own motives. At worst, it's demonic. We have to make sure that we are submitted to God in all areas before we start walking out in this. If you've experienced this before you are a Christian, you got to submit that to God because it'd be very dangerous. There's also the arrogance of having a secret knowledge. Oh, I know things other people don't know. We have to be completely humble in this. There's also the danger of misusing it. We have to submit to God and be patient to make sure we're telling the right person. If God gives you information about something, about another person, it doesn't mean that you are immediately called to go tell them. Maybe, again, he's calling you to wait, or maybe you need to talk to the church leadership, or maybe it's just something that you need to pray about. So we have to be very careful with that. We've dealt with prophecy, we've dealt with knowledge, and the next one is a message of wisdom. Seems very similar to the message of knowledge, but this is a supernatural sense of a course of action beyond good advice and logic. We're not talking about using logic and making a pros and cons list. We're talking about understanding God is saying we need to do this. There's a, like the message of knowledge, this is more a strong sense of what needs to be done. So when we were going through a really rough time in our church, it would have been 2011, we were generating rent from the restaurant space, and it sort of dried up. They stopped paying rent, so we evicted them. And we lost, now you think of what the economic crisis was. This was still left over from 2008. We lost an income of $8,000 a month. And there was a strong pressure to immediately get another restaurant to come in and rent from us, to advertise that this space is available. But as a leadership, we felt God was clearly saying, do not rent this to a restaurant. I have other purposes for that. And it was a number of years that we were kind of holding on financially. And a number of years later, we opened up the Annex. This is where the community meal happens now, Alpha happens now, our senior high youth ministry happens now, and other things. And if we had immediately rented that to a restaurant, that would not have been available. And so we have to be very careful to when this gift is in operation, that we have God's wisdom given to us. Consider when this gift is present in the church, we're not floundering, we're not guessing, and especially considering today's circumstances, we need God's wisdom, God's direction more than ever. There was a couple of guys in our denomination, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, it was about, I think, 2 weeks ago, they started a private Facebook group for pastors in our denomination. And, you know, there was some conversation that happened, and all of a sudden the COVID-19 thing hit, and there's all these pastors getting advice on how to live stream that would not have been available if that group didn't show up. And I don't know what the motives were to start that group, but I do believe that was God's providential timing to start that, so that right now people are in need and they have those resources available. And it's amazing the conversations that are happening in that. Now, when this gift is absent in the church, what happens in crisis is the church freezes. We don't know what to do. We're in fear. We can't move forward because we have no direction. We need God's wisdom to tell us how to behave, what posture to take, what attitude to have, and even what to do. Otherwise, we grasp at straws. We're going to try this, this, and this. There are some churches that chase trends, leadership trends. Oh, we got to do this now. We got to do that. And it seems like they're changing direction all the time. Or even going down the wrong path. So we need this gift in operation in the church so that we understand what God would have us do. Things to watch for, just like the other ones, arrogance, jumping to conclusions. Sometimes we need to be careful, if you have this gift, not to share things inappropriately. So when Joseph in the Old Testament, God gave him dreams, and he immediately went to his brothers and told them what God had told him. And it didn't go over well. They were not ready to hear those things. So we have to be careful about timing if God has given you this gift of a message of wisdom. Now here's one, the next one is, this one's really controversial. So hang on, tighten your seatbelt as you're sitting at home in your pajamas. I've called this one special languages. I call that for a reason. We traditionally call it tongues, and tongues gives people the heebie-jeebies, just the name. Like we don't know what's going on here. So the original word in the original Greek actually means a language. But what it doesn't mean is we're learning French, okay? It's a divinely given, unlearned language, whether it's an earthly language or a spiritual language, and I believe it could be both or either. Why would God give this to us? This is prayer in an unlearned language, and I believe that sometimes our prayers are limited by our minds. We can pray what we can speak. We can pray what we know, but sometimes we're at the end of we're at a loss. We just don't know, and there's an opportunity there to partner with the Holy Spirit beyond our own rationale. And there's real power in that. There's real power. Sometimes it's very relaxing because you feel like the load's off my shoulders. I'm praying with the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. But other times there's a depth of prayer that goes beyond what we would normally do. So this is controversial. We talked about it, I think 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the Luke perspective on this. And I'll get into that. Maybe I'll get into that now. Yeah. So Paul talks about, he talks about in 1 Corinthians, there's this odd passage there. I was going to look it up, but I'm going to run out of time. So he says, tongues are a sign for unbelievers. And then he goes on and he clarifies that prophecy builds up the church because everybody can understand the words, but tongues, we don't understand the words. So he says, so prophecy is a sign for unbelievers, but tongues is for believers. And it's like a direct contradiction. And people don't know how to interpret that. And I really believe what he's doing is he's throwing their words back at them. So we talked a little bit last week about some of the issues in this church. Earlier in the same book, in the same letter, he says, everything is permissible. And then he says, but not everything is beneficial. And most scholars would believe, because there's no quotation marks in the original text, most scholars would believe that the Corinthians are saying, anything is permissible, it doesn't matter what we do. And Paul says, yes, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, so do what's beneficial. Here, I think what's happening is the Corinthian church is saying, tongues are a sign for the unbeliever. Look, we're all speaking in tongues. We talked last week about how they were trying to out-spiritualize one another. And Paul's saying, yeah, but that's not true. When people hear prophecy and the secrets of the heart are laid bare, they will be convicted. Whereas this competition of tongues was about outdoing one another, and it doesn't build up the church, and it doesn't. It's not a sign for unbelievers. They just think you're crazy. He actually says that. So, when this gift is present in the church, there's an increased level of power in prayer. Paul says. He says, not everybody speaks in tongues. And here's where some of the controversy is. Because later on he says, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you. It seems like the controversy is between Luke, who implies that everybody can or has access to the gift. And again, God gives it according to his timing and when and to whom when he wishes. But Paul says, not everybody has it. And I believe what Paul's talking about there is the public expression of tongues, where it's a message of prayer for the body. Paul says that when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up. But when you have a message that's understood, it builds up the church. And so part of the power of tongues when it's private is it builds you up. And so that's something I believe that we can strive for, we can ask for, and we wait patiently. We don't stress out over it. When the gift is absent in the church, there's a cap on the power of prayer in the church. When it's absent in your life, there can be a cap on the private expression of the gift. There's a I'm jumping ahead here. Things to watch for. There can be an arrogance of first-class versus second-class Christians, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. If somebody has not received a gift, it doesn't make them worth less in God's eyes. It also doesn't make them worth less in terms of their part in the body of Christ. We think we've measured up and we stop exercising discipline in our life because we think, we're there. And that's not true either. Sometimes it's a callous disregard for the building up of the body, of the church. And so people in exuberance, they want to pray loudly in tongues and they don't care. They're not paying attention to if it's turning somebody off or if there's no interpretation or whatever. We have to be careful about that. This gift is not beyond our own control. We have the ability to say or to squelch. So sometimes people say, well, I can't help it. Well, that's not scriptural. You can help it. And I mean, this is not an issue that we see in Crossland Church because we don't seem to have a lot of people exercising that or the freedom in that. And I think we could. Maybe we really, really should. We just want to do it properly. The next gift is interpretation of tongues, which is of language, language interpretation. So basically, this is a public gift. When somebody gives a prayer in tongues, somebody else says, I know the interpretation. And just to be clear, this is not translation. I remember growing up in church and somebody would give a message in tongues and it would be like 10 seconds long. And then somebody would say, here's the interpretation. And they would go for 30 seconds. Well, wait a minute, what's going on? Because it's not translation. No language translates directly to another, but But this, there is interpretation going on. So the indicator for this, you might have this gift, is if somebody gives a message in tongues. And again, we don't see that a lot here, and we probably should. But it's followed up with either the person giving the message in tongues, which is a possibility. Paul says we should be praying to give the interpretation if we've given a message in tongues or another language, or somebody else would feel the pressure just like a prophecy. When the gift is present in the church, then ignorance is dispelled when somebody gives a message in tongues. If you don't have it, confusion reigns. And this is what he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 14. We don't want confusion. He says God is a God of order. Things to watch for. No interpretation. That's a problem. We're encouraged to pray for it if we give a message in another language. And then the last one is actually not in the list. But again, the list isn't exhaustive. And I'm calling this dreams and visions. So basically, it's like a message from God, but it's in picture form. And we've had that quite a few times at Crossings. You know, somebody's coming to the front, you know, I'm just seeing a picture of blah, 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 this is what it is. It's like a verbal message, but visual. The indicator that you might have this gift is if you get a picture in your mind. It's really quite simple. Sometimes it happens as a dream. You have to be careful with dreams. Because you can get a dream. We dream all the time, whether we remember them or not. But sometimes it's just bad pizza. And so we have to be careful. For me, I've had dreams before, and I usually will test to say, is this from God? If I wake up and I immediately feel that was really important, don't forget it. And not just bizarre, but this is from God, don't forget it. And then you test it according to scripture, maybe through confirmation from somebody else. I've had it happen in a semi-awake state where I'm like God showed me a picture of something. And I remember one time it came along with a verbal explanation, which was really powerful. I'd love to share it with you. It's not that it's private. We just don't really have time. And I have shared it in the past. When this happens in the church, it's like prophecy. We're hearing from God. We're hearing from God in picture form. And you might ask, what's a vision? A vision is like an image in your mind that happens when you're awake, just like a dream is an image in your mind when you're asleep. But when this is absent in the church, I think sometimes we can lose those visual people, like the artistic visual people that they're not word people, they're picture people. And God speaks to us in incredible, many different kinds of ways. And so this is something that has been a great benefit to us at Crossland Church, and I'd love to see more of it. Things to watch for. So just like all the prophecy ones about all that other stuff, but a big one for this one is the over-interpreting it. I saw a picture, you tell somebody what the picture is, and then you tell them what it means, even if God didn't tell you what it meant. We can jump to conclusions with stuff, so we have to be very, very careful with that. So I've just zipped through these really, really quickly. But I we're going to go through the next three groups over the next few weeks. You know, these are the gifts that God has to build his church. And he gives his gifts to us so that we can be a gift to one another and to the world. So we're living in a time right now where the world is in disarray. People are confused. People have anxiety. What better time than now for the church to be built up and to respond to what's going on in the world, to people that are in need, people that are in fear. So my challenge for you this week is to ask the question, if you don't know, God, what is the spiritual gift that you have given me? I believe every person has at least one, and I believe most people have more than one. If you already know, then the question is, God, how can I put this to work? None of you is rushing to get home, so I have some text messages. Hi, Fred. Thank you for doing a wonderful job as our pastor. Wanted to give you some fabulous news. Our son, Matthew, gave his life to Christ. That's awesome. That's incredible. So, Matthew, we're going to be having a baptism service next time we can. Put your name on the list. I believe it coincided with the prayer meeting where he was prayed for. We could put out a red balloon. That's awesome. So we put out balloons to celebrate when somebody has become a follower of Jesus. And maybe we'll get a balloon for next week. Claudette. Why do you think God gives some people gifts knowing that they're going to abuse them? Because God loves us and doesn't control us. Spiritual gifts, yes, they can be abused. So can natural gifts. But God doesn't only give talents and abilities to good people. He gives talents and abilities to all people. And there's a whole free will question there that I'm not going to go deeply into. But if God were to only give gifts to people that wouldn't abuse them, then the gifts themselves become a status symbol for holiness, and they're not that. We are called to be disciplined as well as gifted. So that's a simple answer to that. We can talk about that further if you'd like, but maybe you can chat about it on the YouTube channel. Is sharing experience of speaking in tongues during a time of deep personal prayer not being humble? Should it be kept private? I asked for the gift of tongues, and it has been a beautiful closeness with the Holy Spirit. I would say yes, absolutely, it should be private and not public. But I would also say no, and here's why. Because there are people that are confused about that, and they've never seen it in an operation, so they think it's unavailable. And so there's a funny line there where if it's only private, people think it's unavailable. And I'm not exactly sure how to navigate that. I know when we're having a church prayer meeting that we announce to people in the church, we invite everybody to come, but generally it's followers of Jesus that are coming to the church prayer meeting. So we don't have to worry about creeping out the visitor. And in that context, I think it's perfectly okay. That it's expressed so people can see what it looks like. Hi, Pastor Fred. Wonderful live stream service. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. I do want to say a lot of credit to Wade and to Judah for making this work, because I have no idea how any of this stuff works, and they've done a fabulous job in keeping things smooth. Regarding praying in tongues, my understanding is that something all believers can ask God to impart to them, so the Holy Spirit can pray for us when we don't know what to pray in our private time with God. However, speaking in tongues for the benefit of the church is one of the spiritual gifts. Could you clarify? I don't know when this came in, and I hope I did. Maybe it wasn't clear. So I do believe that at some point, and I don't know when, I know people have prayed for this and waited for this, and it hasn't come when they wanted or expected, and sometimes it's a long time. But I believe that that private gift of prayer in an unlearned language is available to everybody. And yes, that is distinct from the gift that is for the whole church. So I believe the one that is for the whole church is imparted to a few people, and the other one is imparted to everybody. And again, if you've never experienced that, if you've prayed for it and you're waiting for it, don't stress, okay? God in his time will do what he wants to do. I almost never remember any of my dreams, that every now and then one sticks. I'd love to know how you go about testing out by scripture. Okay, so first of all, if you have a dream and the implication of it seems to be contrary to what God is saying, like let's say I had a dream that God destroyed the whole world, good and bad people alike, I go, okay, that contradicts what scripture says. So I can sort of cast doubt on that. But there are other things. It might be a dream, you go, it's weird, scripture doesn't say anything about it. What you do is you run it by people that are close to you who are mature and spiritual. I don't just mean smart, because there are people who are logical and smart that do not understand God's intentions. I'm talking about maybe people in your small group. If there's confusion there, you can always talk to the leadership and say, I'm not sure about this, what do you think? I hope that's enough. Here's a long one. Prayer, fasting, and staying under authority are great strategies to keep the enemy away from using the gifts of prophecy and knowledge within you. Yes, that's great. Prayer, fasting, and staying under authority. When we are immature and flippant as Christians, spiritual gifts can put us in a lot of trouble. We do need those things. Rebellion and pride are dangerous. When our heart is going that way, it's important to stop and surrender to God all over again. I want to affirm that as well, because rebellion is the natural state of our heart. We're supposed to live supernaturally, but it's so easy to slide back into it. And so there's this constant process of returning to God. The word repent, which doesn't mean to feel sorry, it means to turn again, to turn around. And there's always this process where you go, okay, let me line myself up again. I actually had this, I forgot about this, I had this image in my mind this past week, where God is pouring out his gifts, and we have to make sure to stay under that stream. So you can walk away from that. You can still be wet, but you may be unaligned with God. And we have to stay under where he's pouring. We have to stay under his authority, under his covering, under his protection. And then it flows over us, it flows through us, it flows in us, and that's the place to be. I keep interrupting this text message. To die to the flesh and to our own desire is to be recognized, yes. Many people want the gifts of prophecy and knowledge, but they're heavy gifts to carry. You must continuously and consistently bring the glory of God, bring the focus to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us, not to ourselves. Otherwise, the enemy will wreck you and those around you. Prophecy and knowledge require constant surrendering to authority in both the physical, to our elders and pastors, but especially to Jesus' authority over our lives and gifts. Thank you for that. I'm not going to do any more text messages. I'll respond privately because we're coming to an end and I'm not quite done yet. Maybe you're joining us today and you're curious, you know, what's going on at this Crossings Church live feed. Maybe you don't go to church. Maybe you're feeling some anxiety about the current situation, fear. You don't know where your future is going. And this is a time where the big questions of life hit hard. We live our lives busy. We live our lives with a business that insulates us from these questions. The odd time, you know, there's a funeral or something like that, we go, oh, I'm not sure what my future is. But generally speaking, we don't think about the big questions, and now they're hit hard. What is tomorrow going to bring in terms of my health, in terms of the economy? And maybe you're even thinking, what happens after I die? And this is a great opportunity for you to pursue the life that God has for you. And I want to give you that invitation today to become a follower of Jesus, to become the best you can possibly be. And that only happens in alignment with God for your life. So how do you do that? It's as simple as ABC. A, admit your need for God. I don't have what it takes on my own to handle what's going on in the world right now. My life is confusing enough without the problems in the rest of the world. A, I need God, I admit that. B, believe that God has better for you. Somehow through Jesus' death and resurrection, a path was opened up for a relationship with God, the God who created us to love us. And C is commit to that path. Commit to him. We can't have a relationship with somebody and then other people, it's like being married to three people. You can't do that. You can't properly do that. And so what's happening in these days, all the things we count on, all the things we aim for, all the things we point to are being stripped away from us. But God is here, and he is asking us to commit to him completely. And so if you have never made the decision to follow Jesus, I would encourage you to do that. And it's as simple as saying, as praying. Praying is simply, as simplest as talking to God. And the simplest prayer is help. Sometimes it's the most honest prayer. But to pray something like this: God, I'm not able to make it on my own. I am trusting Jesus for my relationship with you, and I'm committing my life to you. And if you're going to do that today, I would challenge you to go on crossings.live and click the button that says Following Jesus. Following Jesus is not a solo event. And I know a lot of us are feeling separated right now, but we are part of a large family around the world, and we are made to walk together. And so if you click crossings.live, we will help you in the beginning of this whole new spiritual journey. So I'd encourage you to do that. And then finally, around Canada today, all across the country, there are people that started praying at noon for a few specific things. And I'm just going to lead all of us today in a prayer for these things. And I would ask you to continue to pray for these specific things. And so let's just pray together. Father, we ask that through whatever means necessary, you would stop the spread of this virus. We ask that you would bring recovery for those who are already infected. I ask, Lord, for peace for the families who have already lost loved ones. I ask for restoration of the economies of our country, of other countries of the world. And I ask for the wisdom for our governments who have to manage this outbreak. Father, I ask that you would give the people who are stubbornly refusing to comply with the safety measures to protect other people, Father, I pray that you would give them a change of heart. Father, I ask for your protection. I ask for a revelation of Jesus throughout this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a time of necessary creativity and innovation. This is what we're doing as Crossing Church, live streaming. There's hundreds of churches across Canada that are live streaming, many of them for the first time today. And how much more in this time do we need to activate our gifts together to answer the question, what would Jesus do? Because we are the body of Christ on earth. So this week, and even this afternoon, I would challenge you to ask those questions. God, what is the gift, or what are the gifts you have given me, and how do I activate it? In crisis, we have the opportunity to shine Jesus' love. So we're going to close our service as we did last week. We do normally when we have a live service, like in person, we have a prayer time at the end. And so we're going to do that again today. And I would ask that today you would engage with God in prayer and engage with him a few things. Surrender your fear to him. Surrender your anxiety to him. Trust him. Choose to trust him and turn again to him. Align yourself with him and his purposes for you. And then ask the question, what is the role that I have to play as part of the church to meet the needs of our community? We're putting stuff in place. You saw it announced before, starting with grocery deliveries. We don't know if this is going to be, there's going to be need for people who are ill, but there also may be further need for people that are hurt by the economic impact of this. And we have a responsibility to be Jesus in our culture. So I'm going to release you all to a time of prayer, and I just pray and ask for God's blessing upon you, upon your families, upon those that are with you in your home, and those that are close to you that are not with you at this point. We ask and pray for God's blessing upon each one of you. Amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.